often we find ourselves in situations where something needs to be done. There's a job that needs to be done, and nobody does it. And nobody does it because they expect somebody else to do it. And they wait. Somebody else will do that. I'm not bothered doing that. And they wait. And they wait. And they wait. And often what happens is that somebody else doesn't do it. So nobody steps in. And nobody does it. And we get lost, not just between me and you, but between somebody else and nobody and myself. And it seems that that's what was happening in the upper room as Jesus and his disciples gathered there. It was one of those occasions where nobody did something because they expected somebody else to do it. It was the norm whenever people gathered for a meal that you would wash your guests' feet. They would probably have washed and cleaned themselves and put on clean clothes before they traveled out for the meal, before they traveled to have a dinner. But just in the traveling, their feet would get dusty and dirty and sweaty. And it wasn't the case of sitting with your feet under the table, because you would have been almost lying on the floor and your feet would have been fairly close to someone else. So it just would have been a lot more pleasant to have your feet cleaned. That was the norm. When you came into the house, your feet would have been washed, you would have been freshened up, ready to sit or lie and enjoy your meal. Nobody did it because everyone expected somebody else to do it for them. It was the job of the lowest servant in the house. Nobody else could be expected to do it. Dirty, smelly feet, not a great job. That was the lowest servant. Jesus and his disciples gathered together, and maybe they're waiting to see who's going to come in and wash the feet. Who's going to be the lowest servant in this place? And before their eyes, Jesus gets up, takes off his cloak, wraps a towel around his waist, takes a basin of water, and starts to wash their feet. Stunned silence. Anybody could have done it. Somebody should have done it, but nobody did do it. And Jesus gets up and takes the opportunity to show his disciples what it means to follow him. Can you turn with me to that little passage from John chapter 13, a passage we know so well? We're thinking about what it means to be a disciple. And last week, well, what does it mean to take up your cross and follow Jesus? This week, what does Jesus mean when he challenges us with this towel, this ministry of the towel? And I want us to look at this passage just under three headings. And Gordy's not here, so they don't all start with the same letter. The three headings are, Jesus speaks about his heart of love, the heart of a servant. He speaks about the example of a servant and about the challenge of a servant. A heart, an example, and a challenge. Verse 3, we simply read this. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Having loved his own that were in the world, he now shows them the full extent of his love. It's not a duty. It's not a chore. For Jesus, it's a way of demonstrating his love. Jesus is secure in who he is. He knows who he is. He knows he has come from the Heavenly Father. He knows he is going back again. He knows what will lie ahead in the next few hours as he faces his own death. He has come from the Father and will return to the Father. He knows who he is. He's secure in who he is. We will never really have a servant heart without a heart of love for others. If our first reaction is always to think about me, 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 then it's not a servant heart. We will only have a servant heart to the extent that we have a love for others. And we will never really have that love for others until we experience God's love for us. Because that's what transforms our hearts. That's what turns us around. That's what changes us from being me people to being you people. As God changes our hearts, transforms us. As God pours his unconditional love out on us in Jesus Christ. God will never say to you, I will love you if. Sometimes we say it. We may not say the words, but that's what's behind what we're saying. I will love you if you do this. I will love you if you behave in this way. I will love you if you achieve this or that. Thankfully, God never says to you, I will love you if. He simply says in Jesus Christ, I love you. And that transforms us. And we find our freedom, our security in God's love for us. And so Jesus shows the full extent of his love. And the full extent of his love is shown in the fact that John records for us that Jesus knows that Judas will betray him. Very shortly, Judas is going to be the one who kisses Jesus on the cheek so that other Roman soldiers may come in and take him away for crucifixion. Jesus knows that. Whose feet does he wash? Everyone's, including Judas. The extent of his love, he kneels on the floor and washes the feet of his betrayer. The extent of his love. Heart of a servant is a heart of love for others. And we will only have that heart as we allow God to transform us by his grace. And then Jesus gives this beautiful example of what it is to be a servant. And the interesting thing is, he doesn't give this to the huge crowd that has followed him all through the Gospels. So many times in the Gospels we read there was a large crowd following Jesus. A large crowd gathered around the house so that people couldn't get in. A large crowd seemed to be there. This example of servanthood, Jesus doesn't give to that large crowd. He gives to the small group of 12 men, his disciples, his closest friends and colleagues. Everyone else is closed out. Only Jesus and his disciples. Jesus sees a need, and he moves to meet that need. Takes off this cloak of greatness, if you like. Doesn't wait for an invitation, doesn't look for a thank you, he just gets down and washes their feet. Now, it might have been more comfortable if it had been a stranger who washed their feet. If a servant had come in that they didn't know, perhaps it wouldn't have been just so uncomfortable, but to have Jesus on his hands and knees cleaning their feet, boy, was that uncomfortable. And so Jesus demonstrates what the Bible talks about. Matthew chapter 20, Jesus simply says, I've come not to be served, but to serve. And so I get down and wash your feet. Philippians chapter 2, Paul says that Jesus took the very nature of a servant, and so he gets down to wash their feet. Jesus gives this example of what it is to be a servant. And Peter is incensed. I love Peter. Peter just says it as he feels it. Peter, if it comes to feet, Peter only ever opens his mouth to change feet, I think. But here's Peter. Jesus comes to Peter, gets down on his hands and knees, and Peter says, no, you are not going to wash my feet. You're not going to serve me. And Jesus says, well, you're not going to let me do this, then you have no part in me. And Peter immediately comes back. If that's the case, then not just my feet, my hands, my head, the whole thing. The example of being a servant. There's no committee set up to decide who should be the foot washer. There was no invitation given who's going to wash the feet. There was no suggestion that, well, if you wash the feet, then there'll be a thank you and a party for you afterwards. Nothing. Jesus just sees the need and he moves to meet it. An example of servanthood. And the needs are all around us. But it's not just giving the example. Jesus then gives the challenge of servanthood. Challenges each of us. Again, it wasn't this vast crowd that he challenged about servanthood. It was the people who were closest to him. It was his disciples, his followers. It was you and me that he throws out this challenge of servanthood to. Luke helps us understand a little bit more about what's going on in the upper room. The disciples are gathered there with Jesus for the Last Supper just hours before his trial and his crucifixion. And Luke simply records, a dispute arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. Who's the king of the castle? The children's game is played out in the midst of those disciples, just as we still play it out. Who's the king of the castle? Who's the greatest? Muhammad Ali was not the first to say, I am the greatest, nor will he be the last. I heard a lovely story of Muhammad Ali, who was on a plane in his heyday, and everyone was told to fasten their seatbelts, and everyone fastened their seatbelts apart from Muhammad Ali. And the stewardess went over and said, excuse me, sir, would you like to fasten your seatbelt? And the answer was, Superman don't need no seatbelt. And her answer was, Superman don't need no plane. I am the greatest. He wasn't the first to say it. Somebody in the midst of all these disciples was asking, well, who is the greatest? Is it me? Is it you? Is it who's the greatest? More focused on the throne. Who will sit at your right hand, your left hand, Jesus? More focused on the throne than they were on the towel. And so Jesus simply gets down on his knees and washes their feet, redirects their attention to what it's all about, and then asks them this question that hits them right between the eyes. Do you understand what I have done for you? Verse 12. Do you understand what I've done for you? Think of the embarrassment of the stunned silence. Jesus calls his disciples not just to think about what he has done for them, not to discuss what he has done for them, but to do it. Verse 15, Jesus simply says, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. You don't need to spend a lot of time discussing it. Jesus says, I have set you this example that you should do as I have done for you. And part of being a disciple, part of what it is to live for Jesus, part of what it is to follow Jesus, is to take up the towel and to do for others as Jesus has done for us. Part of what it is to be holy, part of what it is to be Christ-like is to be a servant. Sometimes we think of what it is to be holy in some sort of pious stained glass window image. And yet Jesus is saying, well, actually what it is to be Christ-like, what it is to be like me, it's to be on your hands and knees. Meeting a need. Serving others. Followers of Jesus show the love of Jesus through humble acts of kindness to those who don't expect it, to those who probably can't repay it. Followers of Jesus act like Jesus. But there are times when we are more comfortable with strangers as well. Over the last couple of years, we've been privileged to be able to send a couple of teams out to Uganda to work there. And it is a huge privilege to be able to serve in small ways in Uganda. And we've lots of people throughout the congregation who have been on different teams going different places for a week or 2 weeks. And we can serve people that we may never meet again. It's a bigger challenge to actually serve people that we'll meet day after day. The people that we share a roof with. The people that we work alongside. The people that we relax with. The people that we come together here as part of the body of Christ with. It's actually a bigger challenge to serve people that we spend more time with. But that's our challenge. To do for others what Jesus has done for us. And we're always looking for helpers and volunteers. As Jonah said, it's lovely. It's lovely that folks here have that spirit of generosity to give to those around us here. That's great. And it's a part of being a servant, but there's more to it. It's giving of our time, of our energy, of our talents. It may be as simple as reading on a Sunday morning. It may be getting alongside some of our groups that just could do with some more help. A letter this week from Jim Waring, wherever Jim is, Causeway Prospects, is a group of people who look after and help folks who have learning difficulties. That's once a month, Jim, is that right? Once a week, in Ballyrushane Church they meet, just to give an evening, a social evening, for folks who have learning difficulties to come together and experience something of what it is to be church and experience the love of Christ. But they need help. They need people with servant hearts who could just give up a Tuesday night to go and be there, be part of it. In the bulletin this morning, you'll notice that the Bowhill Care Home are hoping to set up a special little garden for folks who suffer from Alzheimer's, and just to give them the experience of being outside and being part of a garden and so on. But they need people with servant hearts to help them do that. There are lots of different ways that we can show that. But it just takes us to see those needs and to meet them. Do for others as Jesus has done for you. It's interesting, when you look through this passage, there are verbs, there are action words that sort of describe this whole passage. Jesus got up, he took off, he wrapped a towel, he washed his feet, he returned to his place. All these verbs. And if you look at the life and ministry of Jesus, those things summarize who Jesus is. He is the one who got up from his throne of glory, left heaven, the splendor of heaven, to come, the Word become flesh. He is the one who took off his robe of glory. He is the one who put on, wrapped himself in the flesh of humanity. He is the one who washed away our sins with his blood. He is the one who returned through his resurrection to his heavenly place. This is the Jesus who has done all this for us, who has served us, shown us the extent of his love. And he wants us to experience that love. But more than that, he wants us to share that love. Being a disciple, a big, big part of it, is being prepared to take off that cloak of greatness that we sometimes wear, that cloak of self-interest, and wrap a towel of a servant around us and get on with it. May God give us the grace to hear his challenge and the grace to respond. Amen.